Welcome to another BlindBargains.com exclusive audio podcast. Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We are here today with Willie Hoos, who works for clinical affairs for Vanda Pharmaceuticals, talking about N24 and non-24-hour sleep-wake disorder. Willie, welcome to Blind Bargains.
Thank you, J.J. I appreciate it.
Sure. So, there's been a lot of talk about this study, but why don't you actually go ahead and explain to our listeners what exactly is the problem that this research is seeking to solve?
Sure. So, yeah, exactly. So I think that's a great place to start, is just to talk for a couple minutes about what is the sleep problem. And it's a sleep problem that's related to our body clock and inherently how our body clock works. And when, especially in the totally blind, that body clock goes a little haywire and it causes trouble sleeping at night and trouble staying awake during the day. And to explain what causes it, I'll use the analogy of a watch. And if you think about, if you had a watch that runs a little bit slow, that's kind of how our body clocks work. Our body clocks run a little bit slow. So what does that mean for your day, and how does it react? So what that means is, if you had a watch that ran, let's say, an hour slow per day, so a really bad watch, every day you would look at that watch at 7 o'clock in the morning on the watch's time, but the real time would be 8 o'clock because in the previous 24 hours it fell 1 hour behind.
Right.
So you would take how would you fix that? You'd take the little dial on that watch and wind it forward to 8 o'clock and kind of go about your day knowing that throughout the day it would get more and more off. And then the next morning it would be 7 o'clock on the watch again. When the real time's 8 o'clock, you'd wind it forward. Well, if you think about, let's say one day you woke up and the dial was broken and you couldn't move the hand forward to 7, from 7 to 8, you'd have to go about your day with the watch being off by an hour, progressing to being 2 hours off. So the next day it would say 6 o'clock when the real time's 8 o'clock. You still couldn't adjust it. The next day it would say 5, and pretty soon it would be so far off that you wouldn't really be able to use the watch to keep time.
Mm-hmm. Is everyone's cycle a little bit different, or is it pretty standard that people have a cycle that's just a bit more than 24 hours?
So our body clocks are what control when we're awake and when we're asleep. So instead of a watch that tells you the time, our body clocks run inside of our brains and tell us when we should be awake, when we should be asleep. They also control all kinds of other things in the body. But sleep is the main one to talk about today. And so the average speed of the body clock in the population is almost 24 hours and 15 minutes. So on average, people are off by about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Some people are off by as much as an hour, and some people kind of get lucky and they're exactly 24 hours. But across the population, that's sighted or blind. And that's kind of the key is, so you kind of say, well, just like that watch that's off, how does the body adjust? And the way the body adjusts its body clock every day is with the light we get in the morning and the evening. And that light goes into the brain. It tells the brain basically adjust the time, even though it was a little bit off from yesterday. And that keeps it aligned every day. So that's actually the link with blindness. The estimates are between 50 and 80% of those who are totally blind basically have the equivalent of that, of the dial not being able to reset the watch, and that their body clock is free to change every day at the speed they naturally were born with, basically. And so that means somebody whose body clock's off by an hour, every day they're shifting a time zone, basically.
Right. And I guess that's a big key. As you mentioned, totally blind, so you're referring to people without any sort of life perception?
That's correct. And so that's one of the criteria in the study, is to be totally blind. The no light perception, you know, sometimes people have some phantom lights or some other very little light, or they've lost it progressively over time, and they can be evaluated to see if they still may have the disorder if they have very low or to no light perception. But in general, the criteria is no light perception.
Sure. So I guess that brings us to the N24 study. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about the study, what you're trying to determine, and how the research is going?
Sure. So what happens when that body clock gets off from the normal cycle? When your clock is aligned with the day, it tells you to sleep at night, it tells you to be awake during the day. But when it gets off by, you know, 3-4 hours, it starts to be harder to either fall asleep or to wake up. But when it's off by 8, 9, 10, 12 hours, it's telling you to be wide awake during the middle of the night, and it's telling you to sleep during the day. And people have pretty significant, and it varies among people, but pretty significant trouble staying asleep and sleeping at night, and then trouble staying awake, strong urges to nap during the day. And so that's a pretty significant problem. It has a disorder name, so it's called non-24-hour sleep-wake disorder. And Vanda has been developing an investigational drug that's being evaluated whether it can treat this disorder and basically reset that body clock and help fix the sleep problems and the napping problems. And so that's what our study is evaluating. Mm-hmm. Is it's some of the people in the study will take the drug, some of the people will take a placebo sugar pill, and their sleep patterns will be monitored through the course of the study just by keeping a sleep diary, calling into a phone system every day. We're evaluating whether their nighttime sleep improves, their napping improves, and also measuring whether their body clock becomes stabilized.
Sure. Now, the study is still ongoing, so what you can probably tell me is limited at this point, but have you learned anything so far as you're going through the study about the participants or about the research?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, anything, this is a study being done, I'm sorry, I talked a little louder there, but this is a study being done for FDA approval, so the drug's not yet approved, and the study's being done to support the application to the FDA that we're hoping to submit in a little over a year from now. And so we don't have any of the results on how the drug is working in this study, because all of that stays kind of sealed until the study is done. But what we do have is some of the screening data, which the first month of the study is actually a diagnostic step where you get to learn whether or not you actually have this problem where your body clock's moving every day. Mm-hmm. And in that month, we're also keeping track of sleep patterns. And in that data, we're seeing some pretty interesting, it's just amazing how much some of the people are suffering with really poor nights of sleep, lots of naps at that time where their body clock is misaligned. And so some of that data the company is hopefully going to be talking about in the future.
All right. Well, the study is still going on. I know this has been talked about for several months, but you are still seeking new participants in the study. So why don't we talk a little bit about the logistics of what's going on. So what is the time commitment?
Sure. So we are, we are still recruiting for the study for the next few months. We're hoping to finish up in the next few months as far as the recruiting. So it is getting towards the end. Time commitment wise, everything's done in the home except for approximately a once a month visit to the doctor's office. We have 25 locations throughout the country where people can participate, and we actually have some people flying in. We pay for all the transportation wherever you're coming from. So even if you're not in one of the cities, you can still participate. But from a time commitment, it's the first visit is a fairly long visit to the doctor's office, a good part of a day, where a full medical exam and all the training and understanding about the study. Mm-hmm. Then for the month following that first visit is the diagnostic process, where each weekend we collect samples to measure the body clock location, what time of day the body clock is in each week, and that's where we can tell whether or not somebody's body clock is moving. So that's about a one-month period. Again, it's all in the home, just collecting samples on the weekends at home and keeping a sleep diary by calling into the phone system. And then after that diagnostic period in the first month, for those who qualify for the next part of the study, it's approximately 6 months of taking either the drug or the placebo sugar pill and calling into the phone system, and then again having a once-a-month visit into the doctor's office.
Okay. Are you able to talk about I know there's some financial incentive here. Are you able to talk about how much that is? Or?
So to talk about the specific dollar amounts, you have to talk with one of the doctors that's running the study. But definitely all of the time and effort is compensated for in the study.
And it's so worth your while, what you're saying.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we hear that feedback that it is worth people's while.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We actually were soliciting questions from readers for this interview, and we had a question from Lisa, who was asking about melatonin. She's taking that as a time release currently, and wondering if this medication is better or how it differs from that.
Sure. So there have been some studies on melatonin, but nothing with that is conclusive. And then the other is that melatonin is not an approved an approved drug product. So there's the timing and the dosing, and she mentions the time release, whether that's better or worse. Some of those things are really not fully understood when it comes to melatonin. And that's one of the reasons that it's important that we're doing this study according to the FDA process to get the drug that we're studying approved. So the drug we're studying is called tasimelteon, mm-hmm. and it is what's called a melatonin agonist. So it works on the receptors in the body that melatonin also interacts with, but it works on some of those receptors. And so a better, worse, something like that, you know, that hasn't been evaluated. But we're going through the process to get this approved by the FDA, and those who are interested in being in the study, that's what they're helping to do, is help get an approved drug to treat this out in the market, so that the medical community can embrace this problem and get it treated. Because that's one of the things that we hear. We talk with people. They say, you know, I go talk to my doctor. He doesn't know anything about this, and he gave me a sleeping pill, or he gave me an antidepressant, or he said maybe I could try melatonin. But until there's something approved, a lot of times the physicians won't kind of listen and treat the disorder as serious as they could if there's something approved. So that's where it's important that we get volunteers to be in the study. You know, they are compensated. The travel is covered, but you know, we need people to participate so that we can get an approved drug out there.
Right. And you want to actually make sure that this drug is actually doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's, if you talk with the doctors, you know, if that person asks the physician or physician that same question, that's probably some of the types of questions they would get of, you know, I've heard it may work, I heard it may not work. You know, that the dosing you get when you go to the health food store, you never know what's in there.
Right.
Those are the kinds of things that are some of the issues with melatonin not being an approved drug.
Sure, sure. Any final thoughts or things you want people to know going into the study?
You know, I think that we do have 25 sites around the country, but, you know, that's not a limitation. So anybody that's heard about it or thought they couldn't participate or thought they didn't want to participate because they didn't understand some aspect of it, encourage you to call, encourage you to learn a little more about it, and call and talk to one of the doctors running the study and decide after talking with them whether or not you want to participate.
Great. So if people want to do that or get more information, how might they do that?
Sure. So we have an 800 number set up where you can call, you take a survey, and actually we'll donate $25 to a nonprofit that they specify for that taking that survey. So you can call that 800 number. And then after that survey is completed, if they're interested in being in the clinical trial portion, we'll share their name with one of the doctors that's close to them that runs the study, and they'll do the rest of the screening. The doctor will do the rest of the screening for the study. So they can call. They can also do it online. Those are the two main ways. So I can give that number. It's 888-389-7033. And so it's 888-389-7033 is the 800 number. And then the online survey is at non24registry.com. So that's N-O-N, the number 2, the number 4, registry.com. And then there's two other kind of resources. You know, I shared that analogy, but there was a really nice article written by Lynn Lamberg, who's a science writer, has written a book on how the body clock works. And she wrote an article, interviewed about, I think, five people who have this problem and interviewed them about how it affects their life. Talks a little bit about the science, but it's very approachable, easy to read article. And that was published in Matilda Ziegler Art Magazine this fall. Mm-hmm. So if you go to the Matilda Ziegler Magazine site, there's a N24 HSWD. You can search for sleep on the Matilda Ziegler site and it'll pull it up pretty easily. But it was published in a 5-part series called Improving Sleep and Alertness in the Blind.
Sure. And we'll also include a link to that article on the on our site as well, on blindbargains.com.
Okay. And I think, you know, the final resource that I want to mention is we have a website and a Twitter feed, both with 24 Sleep Wake. So the number 2, the number 4, sleepwake.com is a informational site, and all of the information is linked on there. That Matilda Ziegler article is also available in audio for those who want it that way.
Great. Well, thank you. I've heard a lot about this, but I'm so glad to get a little bit more information about it. And it's really quite an interesting study that you've been involved with. And thank you so much, Willie, for coming on and telling us more about it.
Thanks for having me, JJ. I appreciate it.
This has been another exclusive audio podcast from Blind Bargains. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest technology deals, news, and interviews. So long.